Now comes all the way back. It goes by Evgeny Malkin. And again down to Tristan Jarry. A steal. Josh Bailey scores! Josh Bailey on the turnover! In double overtime, the New York Islanders have won Game 5!
Minus 3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Minus 3, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Yeah, we got to talk about what happened in Pittsburgh. The Islanders vanquished the Penguins despite utter domination by the Pittsburgh Penguins. We also have Tyler Dunn coming up from Go Long. That'll be nice. Get our minds off hockey and what's going on in springtime and look ahead instead to autumn NFL kickoff. Buffalo Bills, heavy favorite to go deep in these playoffs, even in a rugged AFC. We'll dig in on that. All of it presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, like I say. Make sure you tune in all season long, even though the Penguin season is just about over, for exclusive offers and odds boosts. FanDuel, more ways to win, and as so long as you're making a wager, do it at FanDuel.com with the promo code -3. The word minus, the number 3, and follow along for all the fun at -3 pod. And in fact, expand beyond that, follow Extra Points Pod 2, me and cousin Sal, a couple times a week, chopping it up, all the content on Extra Points, there, waiting for you. Sort of like Sorokin was waiting for those Penguin shots over and over and over again. To no avail, the Islanders win, despite being a barely NHL-quality team. Eddie Spaghetti, how say you? You might have to carry this one today. I'm a pro. I showed up to it. I deserve all the accolades for overcoming and doing my job in a tough spot. It was a long night, walking floor, you know, kids asleep, you know, wee hours of the AM, asking all the questions that people do when they're trying to figure out the big questions in life. How say you, Spaghetti?
It is weird to watch a playoff game between two teams that I dislike, but also have to communicate with fans of both teams for work. But I'm watching the game and I'm full of anxiety as well. And definitely there's a stretch of that game for those who watched or listened to it on the radio a couple minutes before, a couple minutes after the 10-minute mark in overtime one, where I was like, oh man, this is crazy. I think the Penguins are going to come out and win this one, especially that one shot that we talked about off air. It was about a chest high shot that was redirected by a stick and the puck just dropped to the floor, dropped to the ice, and Sorokin's foot.
In the first overtime, Freddie Gugger. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Freddie Gugger gets a stick on it. The puck changes direction. You know,
that should have ended it.
It probably 100%.
That's a goal that ends the game. It's a crazy, you know, that overtime is everyone just says throw it on net. A crazy thing will happen. The puck will go in somehow. I thought, okay, well, if the Pens didn't score on that one, this is going to go the other way, where the Islanders are going to get some kind of trash garbage goal in front or whatever. And you know how it goes in overtime. It's like, if you don't score in the first, they say the first 5 minutes, it usually goes on and on and on forever. And then lo and behold, second overtime with less than a minute, the Isles score on kind of a gaffe or a misread by Jarry there. And I was kind of writing my prediction that if they did not score on that redirect, then the Isles are going to get one that they probably shouldn't have gotten. And they did, and that's kind of how playoff hockey goes. So that's a rough one.
Yeah, it's disgusting. You know, I am not, as a reminder, predisposed to optimism with my team. People just have put me in that spot. And the Pens now, if you are an optimist, if you do believe the Pens have some shot at rallying here, I'm looking for that number, Spaghetti, for the Pens to rally and win the series. I wrote it down, and now I can't find it. Let me find it for you. It's a good value is why I want to give it to you here. Let me get it here.
Plus 240.
240. Thank you for that. There you go,
Spaghetti. Yeah, if you're betting the Isles, it's not good. -310. Penguins are +240. The game is Wednesday night. So the time of this recording will be tomorrow night, 7:00 Eastern. See if the Penguins could rally and get this thing all squared up at 3 apiece.
We kibitz today. I mean, I guess it's what we should all expect at this point. Tampa Bay Rays have jumped ahead of both the Red Sox and Yanks. No fear there for your yes or for the Red Sox fans right now, both within a game of Tampa. But, man, really, Tampa Bay sports year. It's ridiculous already. Let's not spend too much time on the Knickerbockers and the Hawks. A dandy game. One, of course, broke it down in full with Sal on Extra Points. If you want to listen to that, I say let's not devote too much time to it, because by the time you're listening to it, the game will be close to tipping off there. Knicks now plus 194 to win the series after that. And I can't disagree. I felt like that was kind of a gut punch. You get the performance that you get out of some of those guys, career level performances from Al Burks. And I feel like when that goes away, when that goes against you, I'm kind of now leaning Hawks. I'll say you, Spaghetti, for the season. Yeah.
I think of the other way, because you don't expect with the Knicks team, you don't expect a guy like Alec Burks to have a game like that and lead the team. You think of guys like more of Barrett quickly and obviously Julius Randle. So I'm not feeling too bad. I mean, yes, you want to win game one, but Randle can't play worse than he did. So when you look at the team, if Randle plays average, they win that game. And Trae Young had his best game by far versus the Knicks. And obviously, I did mention this, that that Tibbs were going to put in Frank Ntilikina at the end of the game, and it did not work out the way he wanted to. They did not seem to understand that Trae Young was rolling to the right. Got the ball, brought it up court, rolled to his right. And either he was dishing it to, you know, Hunter or Bogdanovich, who hit really clutch threes, or he would just go to the rack himself. So for game two, I think Randle rebounds. I think Trae Young has not as good of a game as he's going to, but they have some pretty good shooters, Gallinari and the guys I mentioned. So it's going to be this series is going to be neck and neck, but I do think Randle rebounding will be the difference in game two.
I'm not going to belabor it with you, but I do think that there is something about those bonus points that when you get bonus points being a performance like that from Burks, that is anomalous for him. And so when you get that, those are points you're not expecting to get. I know you're saying Rob Peter to pay Paul, that their usual stars will fill in what Burks did in game one. But I feel like you want to take advantage of that when you get a special performance from a guy who's, you know, not saying he's mediocre, but was well above his typical performance. You want to cash in and win that one. Celtics plus 9 against the Nets. I feel like we talking about it. The Nets, the more that the big three and beyond are allowed to get into them, the more formidable they're going to come as they go along here. Ergo, I'm sticking with Brooklyn in game two and beyond there. And I'm sorry. I can't get over it. I'm sick about that Penguins game. And it's been all series long. I know the focus rightly is on Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin and their production and what they're doing. But really, the difference should be not just against the Islanders. I mean this. I don't care if they're playing against the Colorado Avalanche, Spaghetti, or the Tampa Bay Lightning or otherwise. The strength of the Penguins is not in its star power at center in their top two lines. The depth of speed and skill and Kapanen and Zucker and McCann and potent wingers like that should be the difference makers here. They have not collectively been that. And I'm not going to close the book and say they're definitely going to lose the island. It has obviously not been a positive for them. And I now feel like it's sad. The Steelers there are a lot of things that people refer to as rivalries because teams play each other a lot. And like we've talked about, the Steelers and Browns playing a lot couldn't ever be considered rivals because one team always won. The Steelers and Ravens are rivals because it's a pretty even split between those two. But not unlike Tom Brady's Patriots, the 21st century Steelers, it's a hammer and nail effect. And now the Penguins are once again playing nailed to these New York Islanders, and it makes me sick, and I want to stop talking about it, Spaghetti. And so instead, I want to just mention quickly, and then we're going to jump in with Tyler Dunn for a deep dive on the AFC East and some more football talk, Aaron Rodgers, where Tyler Dunn pretty plugged in, having worked in covering the Packers scene there. And with the great work he does on Go Long, pretty looped in there with some talk about where he thinks Aaron Rodgers may go after his Sports Center conversation with Kenny Mayne on Monday night. But the other big story on Monday, it feels like, was the Julio Jones reveal with Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless not a lot of debate. Did he know on the phone? Does he know he was on speakerphone? Did he know what was going on there? And it did remind me of something, Spaghetti. I don't know if I ever told you. I was once sitting in a room on a Sunday evening. It was a game. You remember this one, surely. Any Giants fan, what I'm sure most football fans remember. I think it was like maybe 4 years ago. Odell and the Giants played Josh Norman in the Carolina Panthers when Josh Norman was at the height of his powers, and they literally fought physically, swinging and throughout the game, and it was really ugly, and it was a bad scene for football, and you know, who's responsible is that Odell, Josh Norman. You remember all that, of course, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that was that whole fight. I think if I remember correctly, it led to like a kind of a downfall in his performance and the team winning. It was like a rough match for the Giants there in that game. Like, and you know, Norm became this kind of like villain thing, and Odell got labeled as this crybaby prima donna wide receiver. So yeah, those are not fun times.
So I was doing a show at that time with Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, and he leave the set, and we go into the green room, and we're hanging out there. And then Deion Sanders, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Willie McGinnis are already sitting on the couch in said green room. So now it's me with this gaggle of, you know, high end pro football stars of the millennium, and they're talking about the battle between Odell and Norman that day. And Ike takes out his cell phone, dials it up. Next voice you hear is Odell Beckham. What's good, Ike? And they're talking. And now Odell Beckham is on the cell phone and receiving counsel from Deion Sanders on down about, like, young man, somebody does that to you, this is how you got to handle it and all of that. And Odell, offended by Josh Norman physically getting after him, and Ike Taylor saying, yeah, you got to punch back in that situation. And Willie McGinnis from the New England Patriots, of course, saying that's not how we won games in New England. And Ike Taylor of the Pittsburgh Steelers saying that's exactly how we won games in Pittsburgh, is you got to win one-on-one. You got to physically and otherwise beat up the guy in front of you. And Willie McGinnis, no, you got to turn the other cheek and walk away from that. And that's how we win games in New England, and battle and everything else. And I remember, for the half hour that this went on, one recognizing, man, I bet you there are a million people who would literally pay $50 to be sitting where I'm sitting right now, to be listening to LaDainian Tomlinson and Maurice Jones-Drew and these guys trying to help out the biggest star in the game in Odell Beckham and counsel him. And I'm just thinking, like, would it be wrong if I started to FaceTime this? Would it be wrong if I opened up my social media and just, oops, am I streaming this whole conversation? That would have been grand. But boy, that was one of the more surreal experiences I've had sitting in that room. And believe it or not, I not opened my app. I did not think that that my input would have Odell on any level. So I just sat back and listened to the whole thing. Should I have streamed it in hindsight, Spaghetti?
I don't think it's worth it ultimately, because it's, the news now, well, this one's a weird scenario because I guess it is a popular talk show or whatever. I think if you did that, and 99.9% of people if someone did that, then the story that gets remembered is what the person said, and the person who kind of broke the news kind of fades away, or they get, you know, screamed at online by people. This is a weird one where I think Shannon's kind of getting credit in the sense that he did bring him on and it helps the show out and whatever. I don't know how contrived it is. I'm not sure if I fully believe that Julio had no idea that was going on, or that Shannon just cold called him and he happened to answer. Like, just from my day of being a sports producer, you usually strike out three out of four times to get somebody either to respond to a text or get a call on it, like, you know, respond to a phone call. So I'm not sure if Julio just sitting around his living room and is like, oh cool, Shannon Sharpe's calling me, I wonder what he's doing at this hour of the day, and picks it up and just openly says his plans for his future. But you know, that's just me.
How funny would it have been, though? How funny would it have been? How funny would it have been if, like, no, just keep talking. No, I'm not. No, this isn't on. Don't worry, guys. Just keep going. Yeah, get Odell to talk some more.
I think that would have hurt you, but I think I do agree with you're saying, though. People, I mean, it would have been awesome to leak that. It would have been great for people. People would love to watch and hear players talk about stuff like player to player, but I don't know. Ultimately, it helps the person who's the leaker. I think Shannon in this case is protected somehow.
No, it would have been funny, though. All right, Eddie Spaghetti, some more NBA here real quick. You know the playoffs are underway. Obviously, the Nets and the Celts and the Sixers and beyond all know about that. The Knickerbockers hooking up in MSG again with the Hawks. And, of course, the Heat and Bucks are rolling here. And between now and May 30th, if you bet just $1 on either of those two teams, FanDuel is going to give you $100 in site credit, even if your bet doesn't win. FanDuel, the number one sports book in America, and there's no better way to bet on sports. Easy to use, fast payouts, special promos for new and existing customers, unique betting options like same game parlays. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now and turn your $100 into a big time payday. And of course, make sure you're doing it. FanDuel.com/-3, the word minus, the number three. Eddie Spaghetti, how say you? Bucks, Heat, go.
I mean, look at what happened last night. The Bucks won by like almost 40 points. They kept the Heat to under 100 points. They scored 132. Look, last year, I know it was the bubble. The Miami Heat were everyone's favorite team to watch. They're a pesky team. Jimmy Butler is awesome. Tyler Hero was the hero of that team. But you got to look at the East. Like, people talk about the Nets constantly, even the 76ers, and then, oh, the Knicks are hosting a home playoff series. No one's really talking about the Bucks. Meanwhile, they have, you know, Giannis, who's one of the best players in the NBA. The Bucks are the superior team. You have to bet in the Bucks. It's just a no-brainer.
Yes. Yes. As always, we point out again this spring, NHL, what's ever good for the league, bet the opposite. NBA, chalk. They want their elite teams advancing, and so it shall be. I'm with Spaghetti there. Go with the Bucks. All right, here's somebody I'm looking forward to talking to because it's time to heal. I can't move forward until I do that. I have to deal with loss, and somebody from Buffalo, sports frames from there, surely will know how to do that. More importantly, though, make sure you're checking out his great work all year long on Go Long with great pieces right now are about Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. If you haven't heard, some 21st century quarterbacks happen to be prima donnas. He digs in on that, a great piece for Steelers fans towards the tail end. Lassie on Vince Williams and beyond. It's Tyler Dunn. What's happening, man?
It is an honor, Fred Smirlis, to be here with you. I love the tagline. That's great. But no, man, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me. Huge fan.
Certainly.
You know that already, though. Well, I've blown enough smoke up your ass. I love you. When you and Corolla get together, it's appointment listening. Always.
Thanks, fella. Right back at you. Mutual admiration. But I'm going through a tough time right now, so maybe you can help me out. Like I say, my world's kind of upside down. You know, the Penguins getting owned by the Islanders is nothing new. That has run through the literal course of my life, so I'm not surprised there. But things are kind of upside down in the sense that my sports year started with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who do not have a rivalry with the Browns. It's similar to what the Islanders and Penguins have. It is not a rivalry. It is a hammer versus a nail. You, as a Buffalo sports fan, have suffered, and you've suffered in a fashion that I heretofore couldn't relate to. But 2021 is another matter. Talk me through it, Ty. And then we'll get, I know, listen, I want to talk about Bills. I know these are good times and everything, but please help me.
Well, I think everybody in Western New York is feeling really bad for you. I mean, it's just brutal what you're going through with all those banners for Stanley Cup championships and the Super Bowls. And it's just got to be hard, right? It's got to be difficult for the Pittsburgh sports fan. But no, nobody's feeling bad for you whatsoever.
I don't want to help you heal. No, what I don't need right now, sir, sarcasm and glib remarks. That's not gonna.
It's all you're gonna get.
A sad on my emotional wounds.
You know, I'm glad that you shared Dave. You know, Darius Kasparaitis throwing the puck into the stands. You know, that was one series that got away from the Sabres where they absolutely should have won. I mean, didn't Lemieux just whack one in like in the crease? I mean, Rhett Warner, just get him out of there. Just, you know, cross check him if you have to, but to deal with your despair, I would say drink, you know, heavily. I think that's what helps people in Buffalo.
I thought that would be That's what I did last night. So, yeah.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that jumping through. What's that?
I sat quietly for about 90 minutes, you know, just staring off into the void, wondering, you know, where to go from here. I still don't have those answers. But yeah, booze has helped a little bit, but not enough to this point. I'm drunk right now.
You know, I can remember. That's good. I'm not. I should have spiked this coffee with a little something. But I do remember my dad telling me as a young child, whenever a team lost, and it's like, as I told you before, I actually grew up a Packer fan. So sometimes it could have been a Packer loss or maybe a Sabres loss. It was Ty. Nobody in the family, you know, suffered an injury. Everybody's healthy. You know, everything's good. He kind of brought it back to family, try to keep that perspective to a 6-year-old, 7-year-old Tyler Dunn. And it didn't really help, to be honest. You know, it didn't help. You know, sometimes there were still tears. But I don't know. I think that could help as an adult, maybe, that perspective of, you know what, your teams are suffering. They're losing to the Browns in the playoffs in a pretty rough fashion. You know, you can either drink, you can, you know, talk to loved ones and try to keep that perspective, or maybe a combination of the two. I don't know.
Yeah, the loved ones, though, the problem is they're down in the dump, too, because they're fans of the same teams that I root for. So that does. See, now what you did is clever, cagey, loyal. I don't know. But you dumped your local football collective for a more successful one. Some might call you a front runner. But you know what? I'm not here to do that. I do want to get your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, like I say, Russell Wilson and everything else. But let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and the AFC East right now. And it's interesting to me, as I say, we're in a new world order. It wasn't that long ago that the idea that the Buffalo Bills are the prohibitive favorite to win the division would have seemed absolutely loco. But here we are now. Buffalo Bills 2021. Let's start there. If they don't win the East, what is the explanation? Injuries notwithstanding. Obviously, every team is going to suffer some injuries. But let's say that you catch a break, or the Bills do, in terms of health in 2021. What would stop them from winning the East that they're so heavily favored to win, like I say?
You know, Josh Allen, it's going to be an interesting season for him. I mean, I think that the Bills still want to see more out of him. Unless they do something, you know, right before the season, they haven't given him that contract extension yet. Maybe they do want to see one more season before committing what could be a historic contract to him. I don't know if I want the Patrick Mahomes 10 years, you know, lifetime contract, or a 4-year, 5-year kind of deal. But either way, it's going to be a lot of money for a small market team that still has to figure out this stadium situation. I mean, that is just a huge financial decision. And as good as he was last season, Checky, I mean, it can backtrack. We've seen it, right? We've seen Carson Wentz play like an MVP, suffer that injury, and he hasn't been able to get back to that form. Derek Carr, I mean, he was an MVP candidate before he suffered his leg injury that season. I think they got to see it again. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I believe in Josh Allen. I think he is probably the answer, and the relationship he has with Diggs and all the weapons they've surrounded him with, it's not your father's Bills teams. I mean, that they can outscore you, that they can drop 40 points on a dime, but I think that they got to see it again. And he was the most inaccurate quarterback the two prior seasons. So with a full off season, these defensive coordinators are watching his game. They're seeing what his strengths are, his weaknesses. I think he had like 20 dropped interceptions last year too. To answer your question, if they don't win the division, it's because Josh Allen took a huge step back, which it still is a possibility.
I hear you. And also, he's at this place now. Everybody gets very excited about a quarterback who can run it around in their early days. And that kind of offsets some poor decision making, and that youthful athleticism covers up some warts for a young quarterback. But now he's at a place where you don't want it. He is the franchise. And so you don't want him doing that. He has to rely even a little bit more than he already has. I've said it a million times. I'll say it for the million and first. He is Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger's love child. If that's basically what his physicality, his arm and everything else brings to the table there. But I do hear you. I guess I and a lot of people are maybe assuming too much about where Josh Allen placed in the hierarchy of quarterbacks. The Bills, like I say, favorited to win the East at -155. The Dolphins sitting there at +320 to take the East, and things start off up in Buffalo. The Bills giving a humongous 6.5 to the defending AFC North champs. They whipped up on them pretty good late in the season in 2020, but the Pittsburgh Steelers sitting there +6.5, haven't overcome a spread that big in I think a decade or something like that. But then again, I guess I haven't been dogs to that degree very often. But how do you see that one? I know this is really loco kind of stuff to be jumping into a week one point spread, but here we are doing it, and I need anything to distract me from the sorrow that I feel regarding hockey right now. Help me out here. What do you think? Give me a pick in that one.
You know, that I will say that win for the Bills and Josh Allen was, I think it was on Sunday Night Football, right? You know, the first half, I can just remember the Steelers just, they had Josh Allen confused. I mean, that looked like rookie Josh Allen out there. I mean, yep. Passes drop, passes short, passes long, just confused. And then Butler, that second half, I mean, he's sending blitzes at him again. And I think that third quarter, when he was able to just kind of stand there, stare down the blitz and deliver some big time throws, that game, that moment is what really made ownership believe. I mean, they believe, but I think that was a turning point. Like, holy cow, maybe this is somebody that can win us the Super Bowl. This is somebody that we want to give that blank check to, because I'm kind of going all over the place here. But our first big story to go along was Terry Pegula loved Patrick Mahomes before anybody else did. Like before anybody had him on the radar, the owner of the Bills loved him and watched film of him and took notes of him. And they traded out of that pick and took Tre'Davious White, you know, great cornerback. But obviously the Chiefs took Mahomes with that pick, and that's the team they have to get past now. So with that as the backdrop, I think that game for Terry Pegula was like, oh my God, okay, this could work with Josh Allen. And I think he probably does the same thing. Like, I don't know what's really changed with that Pittsburgh defense in the offseason. And then I love Pittsburgh. I love Big Ben. I know that he's, you know, kind of under fire right now. Like, a lot of fans are irate. I don't know where you stand. I can't remember, but on how long you hang on to a Ben Roethlisberger. How long do you clutch to your Hall of Famer before cutting bait, moving on? We have Doug Whaley on our podcast. He worked for the Steelers for a number of years. He thinks they should have moved on. I know a lot of people that do. I love him. I just love Roethlisberger. People just hanging on every limb, him shaking them off. You know, he's got the boot on during the week. He's leading that fourth quarter comeback like he always does. Hey, bring it on. Bring on one more run of Ben Roethlisberger. I love the Steelers this year.
Well, you know, I'm really not terribly down on their prospects this year as a Super Bowl, or I don't know. The AFC is so tilted, especially once Aaron Rodgers lands in Denver, it's going to be even more so. And if Julio Jones goes anywhere, let's say he goes to the Patriots or goes anywhere in the AFC, I mean, it's starting to feel like a club that used to be hip that no longer is. Who's going to be left in the NFC? An old man at 43 down in the Tampa St. Pete, and I guess Matt Stafford hanging out in Los Angeles now. But after that, there's not going to be a ton of competition. Rodgers winds up over there. And as far as that goes, are the Bills, from what you glean, looking at Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and everything else, and trying to learn from that and get in front of it and lock up their guy? You know, again, I completely get it. Josh Allen is not a guy who, I mean, listen, there has been a progressive nature what the Bills have done in the postseason, get to the postseason, advance, you know, in games. It does feel like they're building towards that they are right in 21. As I say, there's going to be a ton of competition. It's not just the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Browns, and so on. But do you suppose that they learn from what they're seeing around the rest of the league and try to lock up Josh Allen to avoid any headaches for at least, I guess, I don't know, the next half decade or so?
That's the gamble, because say they wait, right? They want to see it again. They want to see him throw for 30 touchdowns, run for another 10 touchdowns, and get into the playoffs, win a division again. I mean, if he does in 2021 what he did in 2020, I mean, his price is just going to keep going up. I mean, it's I mean, what Dak Prescott is, his leg breaks in half and he still gets a ton of money. So I get the argument.
Not the housing market. Right. You're exactly right. That the game in the housing market, the bubble could burst and then you get jammed. Like, there is no bubble bursting on NFL QB. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. You better get in now, Bills, because if you wait a year, it's going to be that much more expensive to do it.
Let alone the history. I mean, we're talking Todd Collins to Rob Johnson to Drew Bledsoe to J.P. Losman to Trent Edwards to Ryan Fitzpatrick to E.J. Manuel to Tyrod Taylor with a little Kelly Holcomb in there too, I think, who had a nice little playoff game against the Steelers back in the day, right? So, I mean, considering all this.
For the Brownies.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of talking myself into why they should give him a contract this offseason now. I think given all that, like, Terry and Kim Pegula are probably like, we don't want to go, you know, flirt with another 17-year playoff drought. Like, we've got our quarterback. We've got to get behind our quarterback. They already gave Sean McDermott the big extension. Brandon Bean is lockstep with him. Everything points to them needing to get it done for all these reasons. But I guess there's still this little part of me that's like, you know, he's going to be asking for a ton of money, probably more than any quarterback ever. Just see it again. Just, you know, I think a little patience here would be smart for Buffalo. It's going to be a lot either way, but like, just make sure he's a top level, top tier MVP candidate quarterback again, because he was so inaccurate the last two seasons before 2020. And we've seen quarterbacks do this. Right. I mean, it can happen. So I think right now, the fact that they haven't done it yet kind of tells you they are being patient.
I'm a pedigree snob, and therefore I've seen enough from this guy. He is physically at least an absolute specimen. I would lock him up instead of going out into the abyss. As far as Roethlisberger goes, we've covered it ad nauseum on this podcast. There just was nowhere else to go. There was a move on to what is the question. Like I say, the abyss. There was no reasonable alternative. Mason Rudolph is not a reasonable alternative. That's why the Steelers ran it back one last time with Roethlisberger. I'm relatively optimistic, like I say, just in comparison to everybody else. 17-game season, 9.5 is the win total on FanDuel right now. I'm going over that. It's 8.5. I'm sorry. So, right. So, I mean, these two, Tomlin and Roethlisberger, have never combined to have a losing season. Don't suspect it starts now with that defense and the upgrades on offense. Do you think that perhaps, as somebody who's been in it, that the Bills maybe brought this on themselves, this pox, when they decided they put out to the prospective fan base as they were forging this team up in Buffalo in the AFL days. And they said, what should we name this team? And somebody submitted the Bills, pay homage to Buffalo Bill, the guy who tried to kill all the buffaloes. And
right, brutal. I'm surprised he hasn't been canceled.
The city is named Buffalo, and then they tried to kill all the buffalo. And this feels like a weird self-sabotage. And maybe that's what it's owed to. And maybe, you know, a name change. I think we're too deep in here now to reverse course here. But did Buffalo do this to itself?
I think that's the only answer here, right? I mean, it's Buffalo Bill. You know what? Don't really want his statue around. If you look at that history, not ideal, not good. And also, I could be wrong. I believe the stadium was built on an Indian burial ground. And there are some who believe that there's a curse, you know. You're talking 4 straight Super Bowl losses. You're talking O.J. Simpson. You're talking Music City Miracle. You're talking 17 years not making the playoffs. An entire generation of fans never seen the playoffs. There's something else at play here, Dave. I really believe that.
It only checks out. More cell phones. The Buffalo Sabres one season decided to be out wearing a slug on their jerseys. That made no sense. They wear that glorious blue and gold, and yet they shelved that for many, many seasons to wear red, black, and silver in Buffalo. It made no goddamn sense then. And again, maybe that's the kind of that's the kind of unnecessary stuff is bringing negativity onto you as a sports town. But maybe the worm and or slug are starting to turn there. One thing we've been talking about here on Minus Three of late is what North sports town. Now, you only have two, so you're a little hamstrung there in Buffalo. But is Buffalo potentially going to have more titles as a sports town than any other Northeast city for the next half decade? How say you?
Well, I can't let the slug comment pass first. I'm very pro slug.
I mean, if you want to weigh in on it, but please don't tie your thumb to knots trying to defend something that can't be defended. Winnipeg Jets just showed us that you can defend something that's indefensible, didn't they? Zang, take that, Connor McDavid. Go ahead.
Won the President's Trophy with the slug. They were unstoppable with the slug. Embrace the slug. Bring it back, and you're going to see this team. Dust off Maxima Finneganov. Let's give him a few shifts. I think that, the Bills, they should be contending for a Super Bowl for a while. I mean, if you believe Allen's good.
I think they're reasonably good, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's two totally different stories. I mean, the Bills have this structure, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen. I mean, it seems like this team is really heading the right direction. Now, it's going to get interesting once they do pay Allen. They got to start drafting better because you can't just spend like crazy like they have been. So there's some other variables there, but the Sabres are probably going to be resetting. You know, we'll see what happens with Jack Eichel, with Sam Reinhart. Like, you know, I think they'll keep Granato as coach. I mean, they played hard for him. I mean, given the circumstances, they played decently towards
in the tail end. They became more formidable than they'd been for the bulk of the season. Yeah, it just that was a head scratcher for me because, again, pedigree snob. And you look at the talent that they had there. The results did not equal what they had in that dressing room. It was that was a tough one to figure out there. But yeah, you make a good point where as we vacillate back and forth between Buffalo's two teams. Yeah, that is kind of the magic spot, a high end quarterback on his rookie deal. And as I see, these Bills should be ripe. It's just a matter of whether or not they can overcome the other heavyweights, the AFC, and specifically about that. I completely hear you on your Josh Allen point, but are they there in terms of pass rush to be able to slow down, the notion that you're going to take away Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs offense is silly. You've got to be able to shoot it out to some degree with them. But do they have enough to maybe disrupt Mahomes to get one extra turnover than they did get in 2020? Are they better built now going forward or on the back end defensively to make the difference 1 year later now?
It was a juxtaposition to see Patrick Mahomes in that AFC championship game, not breaking a sweat, just kind of standing back there, doing whatever he wants, haunting poor Terry Pegula, who loved him once upon a time when nobody else did, versus the Super Bowl when he's running for his damn life against Tampa Bay. I love Brady. He's the best ever. I get it. You know, we'll remember him winning the Super Bowl Tampa Bay, but like, that was all.
You don't have to do that. You don't. We don't require that you pay tribute to Tom Brady when you visit us. No genuflection required here. We suffered at his hands in Pittsburgh, like you have in Buffalo. Don't worry, we get it.
It was Shaq Barrett. It was Lavonte David. It was Devin White. It was that whole defense. Ndamukong. I mean, that's why they won. So if you're Buffalo, not to get too nitty gritty here, but this offseason, I thought that their best plan to try, because you got to think about Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, that's the bar if you're Buffalo now. You're like, you made the playoffs, you know you're AFC North champs, like that's where you're at. The bar should be Mahomes, the bar should be the Chiefs, and you need to get after him. Like you have to make him uncomfortable. I thought the better plan would have been to go after one of those pass rushers in free agency. It's always dicey because you're gonna have to overspend for Yannick Ngakoue, Bud Dupree, who I'm sure you love. I mean, he's gonna be a huge factor with the Titans. I mean, they're trying to get after Kansas City, Mahomes, and the AFC too. Like, go spend on one of those guys who are proven, because their front office, they haven't drafted defensive linemen very well. I mean, Ed Oliver, Harrison Phillips, AJ Epinesa, but they decided to keep their own. Matt Milano, Darrell Williams on the line. Micah Hyde, who's very good. I mean, it's hard to say they shouldn't have done that, right? When you're good, you want to keep your own. But I would have been more tempted to, like, let Milano walk, just draft a guy in the third or fourth round to play inside linebacker and go spend on a pass rusher who's going to get after Mahomes, because they did draft a couple guys, but they haven't proven they can draft that type of player yet. So, I mean, we'll see if they pan out. They're their own guys, but you're counting on a couple rookies being the difference between where you were in that AFC championship game, Mahomes not breaking a sweat, to now making him sweat and sacking him and getting after him. I don't know if they're going to make that difference.
There are a couple of name brand guys there. Melvin Ingram was down in Miami on Monday visiting with the Dolphins. And so that's a double way if he winds up with one of your presumed rivals in the AFC East. And Justin Houston also is sitting out there. I at this point, though, on the football calendar, I don't know how incented a player, you know, a vet is to do anything. For, by the way, I wouldn't forget something in late May. I wouldn't sign in early August. I would sign in very, very latest, or perhaps even early September, so I could just be like, yeah, sorry, I couldn't work this out, so I couldn't come be in the sweltering humidity for a month with you guys, but I'm ready to go in week one. That's the savvy. I don't know why any veteran would ever show up to training camp on purpose. It should just be like, oh, I think I got like a thigh thing. I can't, I wish I could, but I wish I could be there. The other question I have for you with the AFC East, the Dolphins are fascinating. And then the Patriots have completely restructured some things. Who is the second base team? Let's assume the Bills, or if they are coming down the stretch here, trying to win the East, who are they doing that against? Is there one team? Is it a couple of teams? How say you?
You know, I think it depends on how you view Tua Tagovailoa. Like, do you think that Tua is the guy? I mean, they've surrounded him with weapons all over the place. I mean, their receiving depth chart is insanely deep. I mean, I was just looking at it yesterday, and you've got studs there. I'm doing a story on Lynn Bowden, actually, this week at Go Long. I mean, here's a guy that at Kentucky, all he did was dominate the SEC, just a freak athlete. And he might be like their fifth, sixth receiver with the talent they have there. But I don't know. I guess I'm just not there on Tua yet myself. Just with what we saw as a rookie, I know he's coming off that injury, played very safe, a lot of checkdowns. Just he wasn't just gripping it and ripping it and playing free and loose and fearless. And that's how you got to play. I think we encourage people about Josh Allen as a rookie. Like, yeah, he was turning the ball over and they were like 6-10. And he had nobody to throw to. He's throwing to like Zay Jones and Deontay Thompson, but he was taking those chances. Like, fans were a little tired of Tyrod Taylor being so safe. And I love Tyrod, but like, he just didn't take those chances where Allen did. And you could see that potential there, that if he turns the corner, he could be special. I don't think Tua really showed any of those signs as a rookie. So give me New England. I mean, give me the Patriots and Belichick and all these guys back from COVID and all the guys they signed, and they'll figure out quarterback.
It's funny. I forget about like guys that were out there. You say Bud Dupree, but you know, Judon, because he switched his number to 9. I think it'll be cool on an edge rusher. 9 is a nice number for an OLB, a stand up OLB. Yeah, I hear you on Tua, but I also think that we are prisoners of what we just saw, and Tua not as good as we expected. Go back 1 year prior to that, and it was like, oh my God, he ruined his hip. The poor kid is going to be a surefire star in the NFL. And now his career is ruined. And then it was like, oh, he's going to play? Oh, miracle. That's great. And then we hold him to that standard, yeah, which I guess is fair. But there is the chance that we weren't seeing full power Tua in 2020. And, you know, I do believe that there is a chance for him to elevate, not just in, as they say, the game has slowed down for him, but the fact of the matter is he physically be a little more game this year. And by the way, to answer your question, for any sports fan, it's or football fan, you want the gunslinger. The surgeon is not, it's fine. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, yeah, he wins a lot of the Super Bowls and everything. Give me the gunslinger all day. Bills fans, you want, you don't know what's going to be come playoff time every year. have fun along the way. Josh Allen gives you, it gives you excitement. You don't want one of these nickel and dimers 1 through 17. And now we have an extra regular season game. Have fun with it. Hey, you mentioned some of the pieces you're writing, and I'm interested to learn, and you've done a great job covering those things, but obviously you're a Packers guy. Great piece about Russell Wilson. Also, for anybody who loves history, the what if kind of stuff, as I do, the stuff about Rob Johnson is just great. I've talked to Phillips about that. Just a bizarre event in pro football history that from high, like, hey, you're going to start, you got to start Rob Johnson. Like, but well, we're doing good with Doug Flutie, says Wade Phillips and whatever, that weirdo. And by the way, they still win that game. And that's what I've talked to Wade about. So, okay, so let's say you survive that game. What then happens after that? You get a fluke, you know, Music City miracle. You can make a decent case because I think you catch the Colts the following week, right? Yeah. Would have been it. And I think I've done the what if on this. I think what it does is it sends the Colts to the Super Bowl. But I talked to Wade about it, and he really liked the matchup. He gave me specifics, too, about why he liked the Bills against that Colts team. But what rises? Because you see all the heavyweight, you know, outlets, PN and whatever, all over Tebow. Tebow does anything. Clearly, that is the path to easy clicks. What have you found resonates as you start up? You know, this it's admirable stuff what you've built here in what, a year? Is it since you launched Go?
Boy, it's been November, I guess late November, so just 6 months or so.
Even a year. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
it's awesome felt like the right, because your stuff is surfacing real. I mean, for anecdotally, I see a lot of Ty Dunn stuff awesome out there on social media and otherwise. So good for you. But what have you found for anybody else? People always ask me, like, what tips do you have? Like, get lucky. I don't know. That's what I got. I got lucky. I met nice people who pitied me and took me under their wing, and here we sit. But how does somebody who has talent break through in this sea of football and sports talkers out there?
You just nailed it, Dave. I just feel like there's so much just BS and just nonsense, and everything's packaged, what, 200 characters at a time, and Instagram posts and TikToks and memes and photoshopped free agents, and it's just, there's just all this, it's just a cluster, you know what, of just nonsense. And so I felt like there was an opportunity to kind of zag from that and just write long stories. I mean, and do what I did at Bleacher Report for the 5 years before then, and before that I was at the Buffalo News covering the Bills, before that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering the Packers. So the timing was right to kind of, you know, bet on yourself, as they say, and just tap into those relationships from 10 plus years. And, you know, I know a lot of players around the league, a lot of scouts, a lot of agencies, and it just felt like the right time to just try to cover pro football the way I think it should be covered, and just tell a story that people haven't read before. You know, there's, for all of this stuff that's out there, like, and there's a lot, you're inundated every second of every day. If you have a cell phone, like, we really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Like, we don't know a lot of these stories of how teams end up with which quarterbacks, and you know what's going on in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, with Jordan Love, with that whole situation. You know, I did a big story on Mike Zimmer and the Vikings and Rick Spielman and kind of how they kind of went all in last season when they probably should have hit reset. Like, there's so much going on behind the scenes that we don't know. Like, the fan and fans deserve it. Fans are the ones who make this game.
Well, that's exactly right. The juice at the fan level is regarded. The food chain goes GM coach to the media. The GM / coach will condescend to the media. You guys don't get it. You guys think you get it, but you don't get it. And then the media does that to the fan. You think you understand, but you don't understand. But I think what your pieces get at, along with, as you say, zigging against the zag of you know, quick hitting kind of stuff, fine and is nice to receive for anybody holding a cell phone in their hand. They know the virtue of that, but the long form stuff is great. And you also get at the humanity underneath. And I don't mean that in a sacred way. I mean that Aaron Rodgers, people can't seem to fathom that he is a three-dimensional human being. Tom Brady winds up in Tampa instead of Los Angeles playing for the Charger, in large part because he wants to be near his boy. Those considerations are real, as is Russell Wilson. I mean, that's another guy, but Aaron Rodgers, for season, human beings can't apply the same measure because Aaron Rodgers is rich and successful. And like, why would he not like that? Because, you know, he is on some levels, you know, is a chip on his shoulder. That is a thing that I think people kind of don't get, is that you reach a certain station as a high end guy like that, who's kind of covered the warts and all, and you expect a certain measure of, I don't know, accommodation or respect. You hear respect thrown around a lot with that, but I don't think loco to think that Aaron Rodgers feels that and wants to move on. And it's so with all that said, does Aaron Rodgers play for the Green Bay Packers in 2020? Or, as I say, he will be a Denver Bronco. And I don't think it's several months away. I think it's several hours away, as in June 1st, we might hear that he's on the Denver Broncos. How say you?
I'm with you 100%. I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. And to your point on just humanizing, that's such a great point. I mean, that's really what I try to do too. These aren't just names we plug into our fantasy lineup. I mean, these are guys that have emotions and feelings and purpose, and they're human beings. Like, it goes beyond what we perceive them to be, for better and worse. And Aaron Rodgers, his situation, when you're out, you're out. I mean, really, if he cuts you out of his life, you're out. He didn't deny the reports that he wants Brian Gutekunst fired for him to return to Green Bay, right? That was my takeaway last night. Like, I get it. You know, it seemed like a bit of a word salad and him not really saying a lot. But and not saying certain things, he did say a lot. Like, he didn't mention the GM. He didn't mention Mark Murphy when he's, you know, effusing praise over the players and the people, and it's about the people, all this. Like, clearly, like, the GM has to go for him to want to be back in Green Bay. So if I'm Green Bay.
And by the way, I think what was very clever on Rodgers' part, as far as that goes, I say, when push comes to shove with these things, no matter how lustrous the star power is in a sports town, ultimately, if a player's kind of holding out or staying away, it's not that hard for the franchise, because the brand is going to survive the player and survive this generation and live on. And it predates that star and everything else and all the good memories that they have of going to games and watching on team and everything else, that people then, it's not hard to spin like, hey, Mr. Selfish over there doesn't want to win as much as we do for you, fan base. Well done by Aaron Rodgers. Be like, I love the players. I love the coaches. I want to win. That's what about Green Bay. Love you, Green Bay. So he got the first blow in there. And do you agree with my hypothesis that what the brain trust in Green Bay fears is Jordan Love run out there in week one? Because if that gets revealed to not be a great choice, they're really, then you get the double. Because here's the thing with Green Bay. I don't know who makes the call when there are however many owners that there are nominally of the Green Bay Packers. But you do let Rodgers go in favor of not letting the tail wag the dog, as big as that tail is in Aaron Rodgers. If you allow the player to dictate, you know, front office guys getting fired, that's a bad message. But if you chase off maybe the best quarterback in a franchise that had Bart Starr and Brett Favre, and now you do in two over the course of basically one big two ends of the generation, chase off Brett Favre, then you chase off Aaron Rodgers. If you chase off Aaron Rodgers here, and then Jordan Love proves to be a bust, you kind of got to get rid of Gutekunst and company, right? And then it's like, now nothing left. Now that scorched earth. Is that do you read that right? That they're like, we screwed up Aaron. Please come back, because it's going to cost us our jobs, right? I mean, I don't see the work around that. I don't know that unless Jordan Love, unless they're very confident that Jordan Love's going to succeed in September and October of 2021, then they must be desperate to keep 12 in the fold, right?
Well, their asses are on the line when they draft Jordan Love, right? Like, you're tying yourself to a first round quarterback, unless you're the Bears, right? Then you get another crack at it down the line. But like they had to know right then, Brian Gutekunst, and he made the pick. I mean, in Green Bay, the GM has that final call. I think LaFleur's fingerprints were on it a little bit, but everything I was told, it was the GM, and that's why Aaron Rodgers has directed his angst toward Brian Gutekunst. So you know those are the stakes when you take him. But to your point on Aaron Rodgers, and I think this is what you're saying because it's absolutely true from what players have told me, like he wants to kind of expose the Packers here. Like he sees behind the scenes that maybe Jordan Love isn't ready. I mean, he was a very raw prospect who he's got athleticism. He's got this big arm. Like at Utah State, there's no talent around him that last year. He's running for his life. Like, you know, and I've talked to people who know Jordan Love. They say this guy is special. He just needs a little time. But if he puts it together, this dude is going to be really, really good. So either like Aaron Rodgers is afraid of that and wants to get ahead of it, you know, but I think it's more apt to be he sees that Jordan Love probably isn't ready and the Packers probably don't want to play him quite yet. He was a healthy scratch behind Tim Boyle all season. And he's saying, you know what? You drafted a quarterback. You screwed up that draft for me. I'm going to expose you. It was described to me by one player as a mastermind evil plot of genius by Aaron Rodgers to just completely flip the table on Green Bay and say, you know what? I know I'm under contract for three more years, but this is who you want. This is your quarterback. Go ahead and play him, which Green Bay didn't see coming, right? Because Aaron Rodgers literally has the ball in his court. It's in his hands. As long as he's good, like he'll just force them to trade Jordan Love eventually. But Aaron Rodgers, to your point on these being human beings, not players, and Aaron Rodgers being an all-time grudge holder and every little slight pissing him off, you know, he gets mad about a story. What do you think is going to happen when he drafts Jordan Love? Maybe they didn't take that fully into account and realize that 1 year in, he's not going to care about his contracts, not going to care about money. He's going to want to get the hell out of there.
The only allowance I'll make for the choice of Jordan Love was that I think we've maybe a little bit forgotten that Aaron Rodgers didn't have a banner 2019. The team went 13-3, and it felt like, okay, we want to keep the train going here. If Rodgers is coming into the station, we're going to keep rolling here, and this is the way to do it, and we can have another year or so with Rodgers and then transition to the kid. One of the cardinal rules in the 21st century, though, is from Damashek is, the pipe is full with good young quarterback options. Every spring, come college, you don't have to reach to do this nonsense. And that's how they jam themselves up. Anyway, fascinating stuff. Great conversation with you, Ty Dunn. Before we let you go, Eddie Spaghetti, jump in here now. This has been fun to talk about football. Why? Because it's not hockey. And talking about hockey makes me sad again. You know, I don't like it. I'll have plenty of time to be sad about the AFC in 2021. I mean, by the way, just to say, this is why football wins. With NBA and NHL playoffs going and baseball and all this going and everything. Why the NFL wins is because what if Aaron Rodgers – it's not like the NFL could have calculated this, but what if all of a sudden you have – Justin Herbert's Chargers with that loaded up defense and, you know, electric stuff out of in year two from Herbert, Mahomes and the mighty Chiefs and Aaron Rodgers and the Broncos all in one division. I mean, it's just loco. Then for 2022, let's get Russell Wilson his wish and trade him to Vegas. And then we're really cooking with gas. But I mean, that would pretty much doomed the Steelers of having any chance in the AFC, but it still would be fun to look at that one. All right, Eddie Spaghetti, though. Let's play a little game here with our guest, Ty Dunn. Eddie Spaghetti, you're up first here. We're going to play NHL player or prescription drug. These, if you haven't noticed, Ty Dunn, a lot of NHL players' names can be confused. I don't understand why they come up. These prescription drugs have some weird, very long bit of nonsense that's like, I think, chemical description of like what the combo. But then they're like, no, we can't go with that. We have to come up with something more accessible for people. But I would contend that Zeljans isn't more accessible to potential prescription drug users than whatever cockamamie chemical name it has. Anyway, I think I've over-explained the game. Let's jump into it here. You're up first, Ty Dunn. Where should we go? Or do you guys want to compete? Do you want to shout out your – oh, you know what? I'm going to give you both a chance to pick. That's how we'll do it. Here we go. See, clearly I've considered how we're going to do this well in advance. Here we go. First one. Caplita. I'm going to start with you. Is that a prescription drug or is that an NHL player? Is that an NHL player or is that a prescription drug?
I hope my brother isn't watching this because he is a scout for the Sabres and he's going to be very unhappy when I screw these up. I'm going to say prescription drug.
Okay. Eddie Spaghetti.
I'm going to go prescription drug as well. And I hope you're pronouncing these all correctly.
I may not be, and I don't care if I am, but I will tell you this. You both are on the board. That is a prescription drug that deals with schizophrenia. So for anybody who might need it within the sound of my voice. Next one, Klimkostin, Eddie Spaghetti, NHL player or prescription drug?
I don't recall ever seeing a commercial for that. I'm going to go player.
Ty Dunn.
I do like the spelling bee like voice that you're projecting here, Dave. It's helping me. Can you say it one more time and maybe use it in a sentence? I don't know. You can if you want.
Yeah. I can't do that.
I'm going to say player.
Klimkostin is using Klimkostin to help him. Klimkostin is a St. Louis Blues right winger. There you go. Good for both of you there. Next up, here we go, Ty Dunn. You're both doing well here. Zach Delpy. Ty Dunn, how say you?
NHL player.
Eddie Spaghetti, how say you?
We're going to stay the same here. I'm going to also go player.
Both correct. Zach Delpy. Is a Columbus Blue Jackets center iceman. All right, one more here for you guys. Let's see how we do here. Descovy. Eddie Spaghetti, how say you? NHL player or prescription drug?
I'm going to go – this is a prescription drug.
Okay. Because we can't agree on everything, I got to go player. I think I've heard that. I'm pretty sure at some point.
Descovy. Yeah. Eddie Spaghetti is your winner. Congratulations. You get Descovy, which treats HIV. That is that makes Eddie Spaghetti the big winner today. Sorry, Ty Dunn. You lose, but you're in Buffalo.
I don't have my Descovy. Damn it. That's true.
Well, that's very good. Used you know, to it. That's good. You're both winners in some sense as a result of this game, right? All right. Listen, you're going to be a winner as long as you subscribe to Go Long. I think you've just heard Tyler Dunn why it really is a great thing to add to your daily and or weekly consumption to get mentally and emotionally and otherwise right for pro football season. Even here around Memorial Day, it's great reading. It really does break through for me because it is not, hey, this team's lost two straight games and here's how they're going to get out of that cold snap. This is about, you know, as we say, making the players and the storylines more three-dimensional. It's marvelous stuff. And we appreciate you joining us today and let's do it again, shall we?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the kind words there too, Dave. This was awesome. And an honor. I really mean that. I'm a huge fanboy of yours here. So thank you so much.
All right. Well, guess what? You support a slug. So, I mean, my esteem for you as a man has gone down and you lost NHL player or prescription drug, Eddie Spaghetti, but you're still a winner in my book. We appreciate the time, pal.
Thanks so much.
There he goes, Tyler Dunn from Go Long. Make sure you check out his work there. And here we go, too. We'll be back in just a couple of days for you, by which point, I don't know. Are the Penguins going to still be in it, Eddie Spaghetti, once and for all? Let me know. Are they in it or is it over with? Or is it over? Do I move on from this point forward?
It is over. It is over Wednesday night. The Islanders will advance.
You son of a bitch. Now you're cut off. to. All right, 48 hours. We'll be back. Maybe. I don't even know. I don't know what anymore. Go take your Discovy spaghetti and download, subscribe, all the rest, extra points, all that jazz. Talk to you soon, sports fan. Till then, thin slice of heaven.